Welcome to Eyes on Gilead, an SBS podcast dedicated to The Handmaid's Tale. There is a lot going on in this show, and we think it helps to talk it out. And with new episodes of The Handmaid's Tale on the way, we think it helps to prepare ourselves for this epic final season. But as it's the final season, we thought it good to regroup and look back across the years to some of the key moments and especially the character moments as the season kicks off, where we find them as we approach season six. And do stick around because we're going to have some massive predictions about how we want this show to end. I'm Fiona Williams and I'm Head of Curation at SBS On Demand. And we have been sent good weather because I am joined once again by my colleagues and fellow resistors. Hayley Ireland, Channel Manager of SBS On Demand.
Hello.
Sana Kadar, host of ABC's All in the Mind.
Hi.
And Natalie Handley, gemologist.
Hi there.
Hello.
Swapped journalism for gemology.
I have a whole retrain. It has been 2 years, guys.
Way more sparkly career than journalism. Fantastic.
Blessed day, ladies. It has been 2.5 years, as you note, Nat, since we last had an episode of The Handmaid's Tale. And look, this show premiered in 2017,
oh
8 years
gosh.
Ago. And of course, there's been staggered seasons and delays because of COVID. Let's not talk about that. And subsequently, both the writers and actor strikes took place that necessitated the downing of tools before we got this one. But it's coming back and it's the final season, so we thought it was a good chance to regroup and look back across the years at some of the key moments of this epic show, where our characters are as the season kicks off. And finally, we need to make some big predictions on how we hope or expect that this show will all wrap up. Aww. So quick around the room, where are we at? Did you rewatch? Have you watched episodes?
I have watched the last two episodes of last season, which was very handy because a lot had been forgotten in the intervening years. Yeah, that was exciting. That got me back in the mood. Mm-hmm. Excited for what's to come.
Nat, how about you?
I have tried to do a bit of study as much as I can, and I have watch the recaps from all of the seasons. And I'm excited actually to talk about it because it has been so long since I watched season one, and some of the things that came back to me and where we are now, they are quite different.
Mm-hmm. And Hayley, how about you?
Yeah, I dived into the finale from last season and did a little bit of internet trawling of recaps and viewer comments. And of course, I've watched the teaser and the trailer for the upcoming season over and over again, looking for clues. So yeah, I feel like there is a lot that I have forgotten, but it is all coming back to me. Yeah.
Well, I hope this helps. And yeah, we acknowledge that not everyone has gone back and rewatched.
Fiona, you have though.
One of us has done our homework.
I volunteered as tribute for that one.
How many hours was involved in watching every single episode of the entire series?
All 56 episodes.
Oh, 56
yes.
hours. Okay.
There were a couple of seasons there with 13 episodes. So rewatched from season one. And look, we have had 2.5 years and I've had 2.5 years to watch it.
Did you spend the last 2.5 years watching it?
No, more like 2.5 weeks. No, 5 weeks. So, yes.
Okay.
I had a hard deadline.
Intense.
It is. It is a lot. Mm. And I had forgotten a lot. And I'd conflated a lot.
Right.
But, yeah, just thought, well, you know, the way this show refers back to itself constantly and there's uh-huh. patterns of dialogue and behaviours and things, I just thought, well, you know, one more.
Yeah, you're like the walking show Bible now.
I don't know about that. Anyway, also, I have to say, the way this show mirrors the real world as episodes drop, and who knows how that's going to work this year, but it happens when you rewatch as well.
Oh, wow, really?
In weird ways. Yes, there is no reason for me to have been watching the episodes where there's the protests in Canada when Fred and Serena go there right as everything's firing up with the current occupant of the White House with Canada at the moment.
That has been fascinating, seeing Canada whip into a kind of nationalistic, not frenzy, but like, you know, a defensiveness because we have to. We're under attack a little bit. Mm. I never in my lifetime thought I would see that. And Handmaids was weird enough watching it play out. But seeing it now in real life, you're right. It's it's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. There was much watching with the captions on and screen capping the screen as I was watching just to, what? Still cried at all the big episodes across the way. You know, when June almost makes it out in season two, as the plane's taking off. Oh, my God, the Hannah reunion in the lake house.
Oh, yes.
The birth of Nicole, the Holly episode. Anytime there's a Holly mention or a flashback to her mum. And the entire episode on the boat.
Oh, yes.
Remember the one we watched and then had to recap and we all sounded like we had colds because we'd been crying. Yeah. Still gets me. Still gets me every time. Look, I thought the way we might do this and structure this, just quick recaps of each season, kind of what it did to drive the story forward. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, hopefully jog some of your memories if you've been reading those recaps. And so season one, 2017. Introduced us to the Waterford household and Gilead's brutality with jarring clarity. It was peppered with some flashbacks about before. June looks to understand her place in the Fred and Serena dynamic as she endures the abuse and tries to survive by being useful, which in Gilead means by getting pregnant. So I had forgotten this, but for June, the Waterford household was her second posting. She had been somewhere else.
Oh,
we never found out where.
Oh.
It's in the book too, but yeah, it's obviously that one didn't result in the baby.
Oh, yeah. We know it was a second posting for the Waterford house because the previous handmaid had killed herself.
That's right. And we
knew that part, but I had forgotten that June was somewhere else.
Yes.
Well, Offred, actually, as she was known then.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yes, yes. But for whatever reason, she was then placed in the household of the original power brokers, the dynamic duo, Fred and Serena, who were reckoning with what they'd created and how it was all playing out for them, respectively. As Fred says, better doesn't always mean better for everyone. So in season one, we walked in June's shoes and came to understand the things as she did, as she found out things within the limited perspective of her bonnet. She started to test where the boundaries were, found power where she could in the house, spied the hypocrisies of Fred and Serena, strategized about how to survive mostly. You know, there wasn't a lot about Hannah in season one. She was trying to piece together information, but it was more just trying to learn the rules of the house and understanding that her wins came through flattering Fred's ego, Scrabble games, trips to Jezebel's, and using him as a way to lessen Serena's punishments. But remember, season one, episode three, the first, do you understand me?
Yeah. Can you jog my memory? Because I remember Fred was like, super chummy early on in that first season. Like they were in the den playing Scrabble like a couple of eps in. But I remember, was Serena like just really, really harsh and cruel that first season? Because you know how she's softened and become a much more complicated character over the seasons. How harsh was she in season one?
The first sign of it was in that episode three where she is very quick to assume June is pregnant because June doesn't ask for pads.
Oh, yeah.
And so they take that as a sign she must be pregnant. No one does a test. No one does it. It's kind of assuming. So she starts telling people and then, yeah, June gets period and Serena goes ballistic and throws her on the floor. That's the first, you know.
Because she wasn't in fact pregnant.
Correct.
Is that? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Serena was humiliated by assuming she was and she broadcast it too quickly. Yeah. So that was the
Completely forgot that was the precipitating event for the do you understand me?
Yeah. Yeah. And shut June in her room. And that's where June saw the scribbling of the Nalite.
Right.
That's right.
From the previous handmaid.
Yes.
Nalite. What was it? Nalite something something bastards.
Something bastards.
So like the fake Latin. The fake Latin. Bastard. Don't let the bastards get you down.
Grind you down. Yeah. Yes.
Grind
you
down.
Grind you down.
We really do need a memory's job.
We're so on this.
Big fans. Big fans. And then, you know, she does ask for, you know, she at least pretends to get agency from June. In the world of Gilead, as much as one can have agency, at least to say, to suggest Nick, you know, to try and get June pregnant. Mm. So there's the phony kind of consent. It's not consent at all, but yeah. Anyway, at least kind of puts a proposal to June first. And then June and Nick, hot and heavy. That was more, yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
That was the
good sex scenes, yeah.
Blooms of their love, exactly.
That's right. Upstairs.
Which is what I remember feeling is, God, that season was so harrowing to watch, right? This is the first time we're all introduced to this world. We're seeing the rape scenes for the first time. It's awful. And so once the romance between her and Nick starts to grow, it feels like such a relief, or it felt like for me anyways, to know that June had some solace and some comfort and some love in her life in an otherwise very bleak existence. And I remember just feeling those two feelings of just despondent at the state of this, you know, world, and then this little relationship being a little light
in the really
darkness.
That beacon of light in that first season, that and the kind of hint of May Day existing. But yeah, before Hannah, the possibility of a Hannah reunion really becomes something later on.
Yeah. And June is getting to know the handmaids too. You know, Emily is her walking partner.
Emily, I miss Emily.
Yep.
Yes, the walking partner.
And she thinks she's a pious little shit at the start.
That's
but
right.
Yeah. Don't get a second chance at first impression, but yeah, got that wrong. And so, yeah, the Emily storyline and the way that mirrors June in a worse off way. Mm-hmm. So Emily has love in her household with her Martha, but that.
I'm complete. Who? Which household was Emily in?
We don't see Glenn.
Off Glenn? Off Glenn is her name?
Yeah. We never, I don't think we ever saw Glenn.
Who was her Martha?
Well, she was in love with her Martha, and the Martha was hung.
Oh, you remember?
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Yes, yes. All the trauma's coming back to you now, Sana.
Yeah. I'm like just thinking the main trauma of the rapes, and then there was a whole bunch of other stuff, of course.
The whole hanging.
God. Yeah.
That was not great.
And a clitoridectomy, but yeah.
God. This was grim watching.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, good idea. Recap.
Like, thanks so much.
we've just blanked it from our memory.
Yeah, truly. Honestly, God, that stuff's hard to hold on to.
Fair enough. We haven't even got to season two yet, or maybe that was a little bit of season two. But yes, so June starts to emerge as a bit of an influencer. Like Janine looks to her. We in flashbacks we see what happened with Janine when you know she her false bravado. Lydia immediately shut her down and took out her eye just to set an example in the early days of the Red Center with the girls. But Janine has Angela in this, Charlotte, Angela, in this season. And this is the one with the scene on the bridge where Janine is holding baby Angela, says that Warren Putnam, was going to run off with her and is devastated and is going to plunge off the bridge.
Yes.
Gilead calls on June because they know of her influence on Janine.
And so Janine's role is really important in that season to show you what happens when a handmaid breaks, when the system actually really does grind you down. On the one hand, it's that previous Waterford handmaid who kills herself. On the other hand, it's someone that goes through what Janine went through and has to give up her baby and just the mental trauma of that. So as we're following June, who has not had that experience yet.
That's right. It's all very well for June to have this influence that Gilead calls on when it serves them, but they certainly don't want June to be an influencer when it's to help Janine, who, well, she plunges from the bridge but doesn't die. And remember the end of season one is the would-be stoning of Janine with the salvaging of, I'm sorry,
Aunt
Lydia.
That was unforgettable.
So the season also had the Mexican delegation where June was asked to present as the perfect handmaid and speak up the values of Gilead. But that's where also one of the delegates get news to her that Luke is alive because she had always assumed that Luke was killed in trying to flee. So she knows Luke is alive and gets a message back to him. So is Moira. She sees Moira at Jezebel's and they have a great reunion. Great reunion. How great can it be? What?
You can't actually say so nice to see you.
I know.
Actually, no. It's like you shouldn't be here.
What have you been doing? No, what the hell? I take that back. And June was inspired by Emily's fury and, you know, she wants to join the resistance, but she doesn't really know what it is. She doesn't really know what this tangible Mayday thing is. But she does participate to the extent she gets smuggled the testimonies of Gilead's, you know, captives in the letters that she hides behind the bathtub. And that's what Moira gets to her from Jezebel's. June finds strength to stand up against Lydia to call for the call to salvage Janine. And she's pregnant to Nick. So Serena dangles Hannah at the very last episode of this season where she is basically a threat to June not to do anything to harm Serena's baby, quote unquote. and Hannah will be safe. So
yeah, doesn't she say, you know, your baby is safe as long as mine is?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, because she knows June's impulses and she wants that baby.
Is it weird that I kind of miss that old Waterford house? There was a familiarity to that place, you know, as a house of horrors it was. I don't know. I like the mahogany staircase and I like the dark walls. I don't know why, but yeah, I miss it.
Yeah. It was interesting being back in there. Yeah. Like just the architecture of it all and up the stairs and over at Nick's place.
That was so much of our world in the show.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I'm not going to say it was good to be back, but it was good to revisit season one in light of all of
strange this. Strange nostalgia I'm feeling. I don't quite understand it.
That's it.
Well, I remember Bruce said to us in one of his interviews with us that the point of Gilead is it's meant to be beautiful.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's meant to look aspirational and you're meant to want to live there.
Yeah.
So yeah, like, and that house was beautiful.
It was a beautiful Victorian pile.
That's right. And of course they claimed that one when the houses were all going of all the people who'd been forcibly removed. So yes, that's a very potted history of season one. A lot more happened. There was the baby shower.
Well, I think we saw some of the rituals, like we were being introduced to Gilead and what is actually happening there. And so there's lots of ritual within Gilead, and that's which was I think we all found so fascinating to see how it's run. So like whether it was how they corral all the handmaids and the handmaid's role in like the society as well. Like didn't they take part in, I want to say a reaping, but am I confused?
Salvaging.
A what? What is
salvaging?
A salvaging. I feel like I got reaping from a different TV show. Sounds very vampire. And same with like when they are having like a baby shower or when the baby's coming, and like there were all various different rituals. And I can't actually remember which ones we saw in season one, but I think throughout the seasons we always saw a new one.
Yeah, absolutely. Just throwing a new one because I think they were making it up as they were going along as well, let's be honest.
They're Gilead. Liars, they meant to.
Yeah, Gilead too, I mean.
Was it in first season or maybe it was second where we saw the birthing ritual where they're all like around saying breathe, 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 and chanting.
Well, the first one was the Angela birth. Yeah, that was fairly early on in season one. So the wives adopt, like basically a pantomime of giving birth.
That, oh my God, that was so creepy. There was a wife on the bed heaving and like, you know, freaking out over giving pretend birth. Oh, that was so weird.
Yeah. And the callback to that came in season five where you see June and Serena, their first interaction over it and like acknowledging with a look how weird it all is. But yeah, we didn't see that in season one, but that was another way that the show referred back
and
to
it's
itself.
It's the same thing with the rape scenes as well. And I forget what, I forget what we call them, the ceremony. Is that what we call that? Yeah, with like Serena being present as well about how it's all meant to be fake. Like it's meant to be the experience that he's having sex with his wife, but he's not. Like it's just the whole thing. Everything is just so creepy and weird. And that's as fascinating, which I think is one of the reasons.
But the wives there aren't pretending to be having sex in the way that they're pretending to give birth in the birth scenes.
No, they're kind of just holding the handmaid down.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. And locking eyes.
Very
with the
stony faced. Yeah.
Not loving it, yeah, but of all the people in that room, they are not the focus of who shouldn't be loving it.
There is something about that focus of the first season because it's the book, essentially, and the book is so blinkered, it's just from June's tiny little perspective, and that's why the Waterford household is, you know, looms so large. It's really only in the second season onward that you get much more of that world building and that understanding of what Gilead actually looks like out there beyond this tiny little world of the Waterfords.
Yeah.
He wants to say, speaking of season one and it being basically being the book brought to life, the big change they made was that Serena is a lot younger in the TV show than she is in the book. And it's interesting now to have seen how that has played out over seasons to see what that decision has meant and all of the story that it opened up, actually. Like what a great decision that was to have a Serena that is pretty much the same age as June is and how they've played off each other and mirrored each other.
Yeah.
And the journey of the two of them, which you get because they are the same age.
And you get the generational conflict, if there is one, between Aunt Lydia and June anyways. Like you get that kind of difference generationally, whereas, having Serena and June be the same age, that's a really interesting dynamic to have that power play.
Into season two, remember she's bundled in the back of the van in the end of season one. It's like, what the hell is this? But this was our first season of recapping. I remember we started
season two.
And yes, that first episode was Lydia's revenge. We haven't really talked much about Lydia in season one, but yeah, the way she was trying to keep things in check in the Waterford household and training the gals at the Red Centre. But yeah, the force of Lydia comes into play with another faux hanging for the handmaids for
what
daring.
An opener.
Yeah. To defy her with that big scene at
it was at a stadium, wasn't it?
Yeah,
like that was some of the stuff we were seeing in those early seasons was how they had reappropriated various like public buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And it's they're at some baseball pitch, I think. It's Fenway Park, maybe?
Yeah, I think Fenway Park.
Very epic staging of that scene. And so, yeah, this season does extend the geography that we see beyond and June sees beyond the Waterford House and the Red Centre. And she comes to understand more of Gilead's power beyond Fred and Serena. So we get our first glimpse at the colonies when Emily is sent there. When June gets out, thanks to Nick, we see the aftermath of the insurrection. I love these episodes where she spends at the Boston Globe office.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And she pieces together more of the warning signs from before and kind of, you know, there's people's desks, you know, their cups and their shoes and their friend's DVD.
That like one shoe that was left behind and the blood on the wall. Like it was quite harrowing.
Yeah.
Like just you didn't have to see what took place there or you just see the aftermath of it and you know what took place there.
That's right. And then it's quite beautiful when she covers the bullet holes with their photos and puts that shoe back with its pair. Yeah, has a little vigil to the people who were massacred there.
And of course, Nick turns up.
Oh, does he ever?
That one's burned in my brain.
Lives rent-free in your head. And, yes, in episode 3, baggage one that makes me cry buckets, we have the thwarted escape where she very nearly makes it onto a plane as it's leaving and we meet the Econo people. She's
I forgot about them.
Yeah.
The Econo people. We've never heard from them again, sort of after that season, I feel.
Yeah. See them occasionally in their grey garb. Mm. But there was a family had a makeup very similar to her own and the mother was very judgy about a handmaid.
That's
you
right.
could see how the handmaids were perceived by the wider Gilead society and a small child. And the father was kind of her deliverer. He was involved in the resistance but had to take her when a contact fell through. Didn't work out for them.
Mm-hmm. Didn't he end up dead?
On the wall.
Yeah, on the wall, that's right.
And the wife became a handmaid.
Oh, God, that's right. Oh, my God.
Yeah. And Lydia, that compound in one of the scenes of It's Your Fault and just building up June's guilt to try and get her back when she was captured again to get her back into Offred thinking because June was going to be a rebel and killed. Offred could be a good girl and play house again with the Waterfords. We got a fleeting glimpse of what a good collaboration between June and Serena could be. When the bomb went off, Fred was indisposed, critically injured. Sadly, he pulled through.
Is this the suicide bombing you're talking
yes.
about?
Yes. Yeah, yes. Where more handmaids were killed than commanders. Backfired a bit. But while Fred was away, Serena handled the power vacuum and there was a commander who was coming sniffing around and she managed to write some orders and got rid of him quick smart. But June and Serena, they were a force to be reckoned with when they were working well together.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it felt like for a moment there that maybe they could really enact some change together.
That's right. June got a pencil. She was, you know, her skills as a book editor were being used while Serena was writing laws. But of course, Fred pulled through. Of course, he came back, thanked them for quote unquote helping out and said, I'll take it from here. The changes in June in this one, like I said, when Lydia compounded the it's your fault, she was made to feel like nothing, guilt about everything that she was responsible for in escaping. She at one point says, let Hannah forget me. Let me forget me. So, yeah, she's kind of remade. And the fate of her babies were coming into the fore, both Hannah and she was pregnant. So the fate of her unborn baby, she had that risk of miscarriage. And, guys, they absolutely tell us what's going to happen because in one scene in the hospital afterwards, she's saying to her belly, I will not let you grow up in this place. They do not own you. So that was kind of a sign that she also says, I should accept the reality of you being born here. Fuck that. In the Waterford house. Also, hi, in one of them she says that Hannah was born 2 weeks early. So when we were speculating about when Nicole might be born. It was 2 weeks before the end of the season. She was also born 2 weeks early. And across the season, June is sizing up friendlies who will be there for her baby to give the baby like the sense of who a good person is, because Serena is going to ship her off as soon as she gives birth. And in this season, she's testing her limits with Serena. June's impressed at Serena's moxie when they are working together, but it backfires when they go too far and they defy Fred when Angela is unwell and near death's door, and they organise a Martha to become a doctor again. She was a top paediatrician.
Right. Yep.
And Janine shows that, you know, sometimes just love and care can help reconnect a baby to the world, I guess. There was some beautiful scenes, but Fred whips Serena in the wake of that when she went too far and forged his signature again to make those orders happen. She reflexes and punishes June immediately. There's the false labour at the end of this one where they have the ceremony for the birthing of June's baby, but it's Braxton Hicks and she doesn't have the child. Serena is humiliated because all the wives were there, they were doing the ceremony. And this one I had forgotten and I cannot believe it, but it's where Serena proposes another rape, the ceremony to bring on the baby.
That's right. Oh, my God. You're so right. Yes, I had forgotten that, but I absolutely remember that.
Yeah.
It's like an extra layer of complicity that when she proposes it, then when she's merely kind of present, holding her down.
Right.
It's like, yeah.
They're in the greenhouse and both are kind of commenting on how big for her boots she's getting, and Serena's.
It's just so horrible.
Right.
Like
yeah.
proposing a rape to bring upon the birth of a child. Like it just, oh God.
So there's one last ceremony. That was when season two really went for it with some ceremonies, and Emily as well had the genital mutilation and she was sent to a new posting. Yeah, it got really brutal to show just the depths of Gilead's brutality.
It did, didn't it? It was a really brutal season, and it's funny because that was the first one that we did.
Do you know the scene that stands out for me from that season in keeping with brutality? It's where, I can't remember what her name was in the show, but Sydney Sweeney, she's
Eden.
In that season.
We're getting to
Eden,
that.
That's
yep.
right. It's where Eden and her paramour, because her relationship with Nick isn't working out, they're drowned in that pool for having relations or being friendly outside of the bounds of her marriage. That was just so awful to watch. That having the weights tied to their feet, that whole scene.
That's right.
Yeah. And she was a true believer. Like she was given the chance to repent. Even Nick was saying, you know, you don't have to do this. I will forgive you.
And that was so twisted too, because you would think, you know, Gilead wants fertile young women and firm believers, of which she was the poster girl for all of that. And yet they still killed her. And so actually the cruelty is the point.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Yeah. It's like trying to apply logic and reason to a system which is not built on that. And I think that's jumping ahead that's the journey I want to see from Lydia this year, because I think she's been a true believer. And the journey of seeing someone that suddenly realizes, oh, this system is not what I thought it was. And I think, we saw that way back when with Eden. And, that was, again, another, sporting facility which has been used in very
That's
awful
right.
ways.
What's the sporting facility being converted to slaughterhouses?
That's right.
Yeah, on reflection, it really was the harshest season so far. And I think it's also where a lot of people stopped watching as well, I think, because of that.
Yeah, that's anecdotally. A lot of people do say, oh, it got too much for me. Yeah. And so that whole Eden storyline definitely sets off something in that household, because they were all mean to her when she came.
Yeah,
June
were,
was pissed off. Who is this interloper? Also, Eden, you know, she threatened to sort of snitch on Nick because he was aloof. She was kind of intimating that she might dob him in. Mm. So June had that conversation with Nick where it was like, you need to sleep with her. And he sort of recalled at that and she said, oh, you have to fuck someone you don't want to? Like, what's that like?
Yeah. Right. And then the whole Machete scene
right.
happened.
Yeah, we saw what a Gilead kind of sex scene is like, and it's
a hole in the sheet.
Yeah, no thanks. But then the loss of Eden and the revelation that she was reading, she had a Bible, she was making annotations in it, so she was reading to better understand God's word, set off something in the household for the women particularly, and in Serena. And that's where she made at June's urging, she entreated to the commanders that girls should be allowed to read because that's the only way they could really truly understand God's word, and lost a finger for her trouble. They chopped off her finger for her trouble. So that was a big one for Serena. And that's the same day that.
Yeah. I think these two examples are where we find out that really, even though Gilead is meant to be about religion, it is not about religion, and the true believers are punished as harshly as anyone else. And it's about maintaining male power in this world.
Yeah, 100%. And then this is where the first contact with Hannah comes as well. It's kind of off the back of the horrendous rape of June again. Fred offers for her to see Hannah at the lake house, and she gets a very short space of time with Hannah, who she remembers her really vividly. And, you know, she's calling her mummy and she's angry because what she remembers is that June didn't come back for her and that she left her basically. And that's, yeah, really heartbreaking scene. But she's crying and calling out mummy and will I ever see you again? So I had forgotten the degrees to which Hannah still remembered her back in this season two. And that leads to the epic birth scene, birth episode, the fully contained birth episode where June is left on her own to bring Holly, as she calls her, into the world. And that's a whole episode dedicated to her mum.
I think that is my favourite episode of all time in this series. Like the two birth ones are wonderful, like when Serena gives birth and when June gives birth. They're so separate. They stand out because they're so different from all the other episodes. They're not in Gilead. They're always somewhere. They're always somewhere else. And the fact that it was just her and it was still a compelling storyline, she was trying to, from memory, I think she was trying to escape, and everything she was trying wasn't actually working. And then she just had to make do with where she was. And the fact that she got to have the birth on her own outside of the whole Gilead mechanism, that in her own way she got to have a beautiful birth on her own terms and bond with her baby, which otherwise if she had done that in Gilead, it wouldn't have happened. And so there's so much about that episode that for me just like stands out, and that's probably the one that I look back on. If I was going to rewatch them, I would rewatch the two birth episodes, think.
Yeah, it's incredible. And it's full of flashbacks of her own mum, of Holly, like this mighty force in her life who she didn't realise at the time, you know, her mum was a pain in the ass because she just, she'd rather go off and help other women than be there for June at key moments of her life. But yeah, just, you know, I love the Holly storyline, and it, yeah, just reinforces just the firepower that she was, that her imprint on June that comes in these ways that I guess leads to June's fears of what Hannah's not getting. Yes, I'm with you on that one, Nat. My God. Part of that is her realizing that to save both their lives, she has to actually call in help at the end. So she does kind of fire a flare, and that winds her back in Gilead in the Red Center pumping milk, because Serena doesn't really want her back in the household. She'll take the baby, but not the...
That's right.
Not the instigator. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, that is the season where, on this day where Serena lost her finger in the wake of Eden with the new baby, Nick and the Marthas particularly, orchestrate the effort to get June and the baby out. And this is that incredible finale across Gilead, across the fences, because the Marthas can be invisible. So that was a pretty epic finale. Yeah,
you see the whole Martha network.
Yeah, in full flight.
Touching back on the June and Serena relationship, and I think from the end of this season, I can see now what we were seeing then, which is June went from someone who was just like living a nice life and is like this just a lovely young woman, really, and she is gradually having to become more like Holly and become more like her mother and realize that it's her world is bigger than her and that there are other things to fight for. And whereas Serena, I think, has the opposite journey, whereas she also was a product of her mother and she...
That's right. Is it this season we meet her mother?
The next one, yeah.
And so her journey is different. It's about conceding power rather than gaining power. So, like, and whereas I think as the seasons go on, at some point they've got to kind of meet in the middle, right? But anyway, so we're starting to see that already. Mm-hmm.
We really are. And three brings with it, like you see, the flip side of Gilead's power and the roots of that resistance. You see homegrown May Day happening in Lawrence's house. June's on the lookout for some allies because she wants to inflict some damage, and she's searching for her own power and purpose. But this is the season where there was Of Matthew. Do you remember the handmaid, her new partner? It was a strange...
She, like, at the end, she had a can of, like, lobster or something that she went crazy with.
She had had multiple babies for the regime.
That's right.
She was pregnant again, and that was kind of setting off something in her, obviously knowing that how finite kind of the life of a handmaid was going to be. And, yeah, seeing that back... It's, again, a strange characterization, but you kind of see the purpose of those moments. And June absolutely hits rock bottom in the hospital. She hears the drips and it sets off the Belinda Carlisle music. Mm. And there is the surgeon who they're only prolonging of Matthew's life at this point so she can have the baby for Calhoun. But he knew her mum. He knew Holly, the surgeon, and he basically says, you know, he honours the life of the handmaid by saving her child. And... inspires June to sort of think about what would her mum do, and that how is June going to honour the life of Hannah? And that's where she resolves to get the kids out. And she's like, well, I need to do some big damage. But she's hit rock bottom by this point in this season. The Lawrence house, this is where we kind of spent time with Beth, with Martha's, who homegrown May Day, they were kind of trying to shake shit up in the house of Lawrence. The weird commander who was okay with resistors in the house, very transactional man who challenged June to save some women, only a handful of women, and that's where she chose those who could potentially inflict the most damage on Gilead. What do you guys remember from season three? The Washington episode stood out to me, the Winslow, his posturing with Fred.
I feel like what stood out to me this season, the third season, was how slow it moved, actually. I feel like it lost a lot of people third season, particularly that hospital scene where I think they shot that one particular scene entirely in the hospital. Yep. It just, I remember feeling such a sense of, oh God, we're just stuck here. And I think, you know, that's mirroring what the characters feel. I get that. But it just, as a viewer, it got a bit tricky this particular season. But on a bright point, the Washington episode was magnificent. Seeing Serena and June argue in front of that shot up Lincoln statue was just incredible.
Incredible. And that's because Serena, having given over Nicole at the end of season two, once she gets a chance to sleep on it, immediately regrets it. And particularly she wants to see Nicole one last time to sort of say goodbye. And that's where June is forced to call Luke, you know, for the first time. It's their one interaction in years, has to arrange for him to bring Nicole to meet Serena. But, of course, seeing Nicole sets off this yearning in Serena to get the baby back. And, yes, that's where they go full global. The marketing skills come to the fore and try and launch a campaign.
I like when we get an insight into the diplomatic efforts of Gilead. Yes. I like seeing that kind of political manoeuvring. And whether it's effective or not, I think that's the PR angle of it all is really interesting to me.
Yeah, 100%. And that's what Serena is so good at, the way she orchestrated Fred's funeral in more recent seasons. And Fred was in marketing. That was the revelation you know, about his job before. Luke was in urban planning. So no wonder he's so focused on building codes in season five. Just these little insights into what everyone did. It's like, okay. Useful comes into play. Yeah. So, yeah, you're right. Season three had 13 episodes. So that one did go a bit longer and just putting the groundwork of resistance. June trying to find her way in this new world, trying to get a grip on May Day, but ultimately realizing she can be really ruthless. So you see the change in her. You see she mentioned there's a passage where she's saying that pain marks you and it marks you in a way too deep to see that, you know, is setting up the way she reacts when she makes it through to Canada. But yeah, she's ruthless in this season. She's standing up to Martha's in the basement, the tough broads who show up. She's squaring off against them. She organises the plane. She murders Winslow at Jezebel's in an epic episode.
With a pen.
And...
fitting for a book editor.
That is true. And a woman in Gilead. She lets Eleanor die. Because Eleanor, Lawrence's wife, you know, resents the role that he had in forging Gilead and was talking a bit loosey-goosey about the plan to get the kids out on the plane. So, yeah, she let her pass away and gets kids out, but gets a bullet in the process. Yeah. End of season.
That was such an epic end to the season. I think that's one of my favourite endings, was getting all of those kids out was actually pretty wonderful. Like if you want to have a payoff, because the end of the first season is really June getting bundled into the car and it's a bit of a cliffhanger and you don't know what's going to happen next. And that's where the book had ended off as well.
Yeah.
The end of season two, she basically gets Nicole out, this whole network, and like one baby gets out. Mm. But at the end of, so this is season three we're talking about, right? So at the end of season three, all of those girls, that was actually quite amazing.
It was incredible. That walk through the night, the music, it was, yeah, an incredible culmination of that season. And, you know, that's why she stayed. That's why, yeah, she had to stay in for that season to inflict damage. But then, of course, when the plane makes it to Canada, Luke's face when he doesn't spy either Hannah or June, you know, is crushing.
But it's heartbreaking.
Yeah. But 80-odd kids and Marthas, not a bad effort. And Rita is out and she says, your June did all this.
Yeah, it was a real roller coaster of a season when June hits rock bottom. Mm. Like the audience is really dragged down with her. But then you end the season on this massive high with the aeroplane. So, yeah.
And this is kind of across this way, June had been trying to inspire Serena to tap into that impulse that kind of made her speak out to the commanders. When Serena torches the house, we didn't ever mention that one, but yeah, and moves in with her mum.
Well, I think we see June as a real political operator in that season. The way that she is manipulating or learning how to navigate Lawrence, and the way that she's pushing Serena, and it's not because she wants any sort of redemption for Serena. It's not like she cares about Serena as a person. It's because she needs to achieve what she needs to achieve. And she's willing to do what it takes, which is what we see with Lawrence's wife. Like, again, that is like she is willing to do what it takes to get the result that she needs.
That's right. And, yeah, she entreats to Serena, you know, wear the dress, pull the strings. And that inspires Serena to see her power again, because she'd sort of been a bit aimless in the wake of the finger and torching the house. But, yeah, Serena takes that in a different direction and it's not the one that June had hoped. And yeah, June rising as a leader, she adopts the stance of a commander. In those Washington scenes, she's silently directing handmaids to follow her lead. So I hope that's, you know, a real sign of what season six might be bringing in June's lead with the handmaids. Let's skip ahead. So season four, it's the whole idea of justice versus revenge. So now what from June? So she's out and she's meeting Esther. She's seeing how wives, child wives, are being raped as well, mistreated in this world. There's more guilt and torture when she's captured. We see those scenes in the box.
Oh, sorry, I just forgotten who Esther was.
Yeah, I was just trying to clock who Esther was.
At the beginning, so in season four, we're at a farmhouse.
Correct.
Do you remember the farmhouse?
Yes,
and
I do.
So there was young Esther and she looked like a really beautiful young teenage girl.
McKenna Grace.
That's right, friend of the show.
Who was married to a much
very old,
old
man.
Yeah, like an elderly man. And she was poisoning him with tea leaves or something, a plant.
Like nightshade or something.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Clever girl.
That's right. Poisoning skills, they come in handy a little bit later as well. And Moira, what I have learned across these seasons, whenever Moira says something, she just nails it. So if Moira says something's going to happen, it's 100% going to happen.
And what did she say was going to happen?
Well, more describing June. She absolutely knows her because they're the oldest friends. You know, June takes a big swing and fuck the consequences. So, you know, that's what she, June poisons a whole bunch of commanders at Jezebel's because she can. Esther treats June absolutely like a hero. And June's having a bit of a savior complex. Like she's feeling, she's, you know, and rightly so, she's just gotten a plane load of kids out of Gilead. She's entitled to feel pretty puffed up about that. But, of course, it all comes tumbling when she's captured. There is that epic torture episode with Lydia and Skivvy Man, if anyone remembers.
Skivvy Man, turtleneck guy,
Skivvy Man, June in a box.
Wow. That had escaped my memory.
Is there as a way to make her talk? They want to know where the handmaids got to, the other handmaids who she fled with, who were at the farmhouse but moved on to the next location. They want her to give up the details.
And this is when those other handmaids die, isn't it? When they are hit by the train.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
We loved those handmaids.
We loved those handmaids. We also lost Beth and Sienna. the Martha's from Lawrence's house, they were pushed off a building to make June talk.
Yeah.
Which I had forgotten because as I was watching the previous one, I was like, oh, whatever happened to them? And anyway, then I found out, unfortunately, in season
four. Nothing good ever happens.
Nothing good ever. No one's
life in Gilead.
No one's storyline is unrefined. Then June and Janine's friends do get hit by the train as they are fleeing. And June and Janine are on the run. They're in a milk train.
Oh, my God. That is like one of the most unforgettable scenes of the entire series for me, for whatever reason. Just the abject grossness of being stuck on a milk tank.
That's right.
Sloshing around in milk. At like, you know, having gone through everything they've gone through. Being raped, having their children ripped away, just trauma upon trauma, and then you find yourself in a fucking milk tank. That's just horrific to me.
In a big wool dress. Having an argument.
Like, people pay a lot of money to get bathed in milk. I don't know.
Maybe when it's your choice and you're in a much better mood, it's okay.
And not when it's a moving vehicle.
Exactly. And I'm like, where did that milk
end up? Did someone end up drinking that?
Just like, I can just imagine the curdling smell and the stickiness. Ooh. Oh, God. Awful.
But I think maybe more importantly than that was when we saw Janine fight back to June. Yeah. And that was when, do you know what she said? Something about not being a mushroom? Something about like,
yeah,
stop keeping me in the dark, or you need to be able to trust me, you need to be able to tell me things, you need to be able to clue me in that I'm not some helpless woman. And I think that's kind of along the lines of what Janine said when they were in that milk. I think it broke them. Like, you're right, Sana. Being in that milk container for that long.
It's just the last straw.
Yes, exactly. They were like that. She had enough. And of course, then we see once they're in that sort of frontline area in like Chicago, I think.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you see Janine able to help out June in a way and able to step up. And, of course, it's handmade. So when a woman has to step up to do something, it's not great, is it?
Nope.
But that was when we sort of, I think, start seeing Janine in a bit of a different light. She has grown and changed as well.
Yep. Her evolution is quite apparent in there. And June makes it out. There is the siege on Chicago. We don't know what's happened to Janine yet, but Moira finds June in the rubble in Chicago.
So it's June that gets on the boat.
Yeah.
Janine doesn't get on the boat.
No. Janine does not get on the boat.
Oh, my gosh.
So we don't know.
Oh, my gosh. That's right. Yes. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it's all coming back. Yes.
Yes. And Moira is doing everything she can to convince June to come. June does not want to come. And it's, oh, my God, that episode. And she's projecting everything that she thinks is going to happen and does. And, you know, her fears about how seeing Luke is going without Hannah, and she apologizes for not having Hannah and she can't leave without Hannah. But then she does get out, and there's the therapy circle with the other handmaids that June's not really one for talking about her feelings. She wants to work through them quite physically and quite brutally. She's been a trained assassin for Gilead, for God's sake. And the reunions with Luke are traumatic and problematic. And he's been living in limbo for years, not really being able to accomplish much in Canada, not really anything. And he doesn't cope with the firebrand that comes home.
But this is where we see some of the machinations that Nick and Lawrence. So Nick and Lawrence have sort of teamed up together, and they are trying to enact their own change in Gilead that we never quite know. Like, I think we always want to know more, like what is really going on there. But isn't this the whole thing where in this season they have a whole storyline where they are double-crossing Fred?
And the culmination to get him back into Gilead to give to June. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, like the trade.
Nick's big gift to June.
That's right.
Is basically Fred.
That's right. There's a big pash, and then he lets her he lets her work through her bloodlust. Yeah. Yeah. And of course, Lawrence being transactional, and it's all about quid pro quo, he first gives the offer to June and Luke to give back 10 of the kids in exchange for Hannah.
Is this that scene when they're in the cafe or something? They were sort of meeting together, and there was
It's a Zoom. He's on the phone at home. Tuello brings the phone over, and then there is a scene in the cafe as well where June actually does the real deal, where it's 22 women for Fred.
Mm-hmm.
Because Fred, she gives a chance. She gives her testimony. She says her story to the world. Mm-hmm. Thinks it might accomplish something. It doesn't, because Fred is the big fish, so he ends up getting away in the eyes of the law with what he did to June, because he's got more value in what he can say about Gilead. So that sets a fire in her, and ultimately Fred is fed to the wolves.
Yeah, because she's basically being betrayed by everybody.
Yep.
So in that case, she's sort of almost left with nothing else than to enact her own justice / revenge, because she tried it the right way and it didn't work.
That's right.
Yeah. And oh my gosh, it was so good.
It was the best. It was the best finale, that one. Serena's pregnant. Revelation. Of course, there was that one scene where she and Fred had had sex after she'd, we haven't mentioned, Serena threw him to Tuello in exchange for Nicole. But yeah, they're locked up and she's pregnant. Mm-hmm. And suddenly.
Locked up and knocked up.
That wasn't the episode title, but it should have been. Of course, June is furious at the word that Serena is pregnant, because she was a handmaid for all of those years. It takes place in no man's land. And in the wake of that, season 5, June gets away with it.
Mm, mm-hmm. That's right. She actually hands herself in, because I think, because she can't, I don't think, I think what we're learning from June now was that she's in Canada, she's out of Gilead, yet she can't relax. She's still very much in that sort of Gilead headspace. And then I think she hands herself in expecting to be punished. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like this is a woman who has just been punished over and over and over again, and that she's almost expects it to continue to the point that she gives herself up. And then, of course, she gets away with it. It was like a random fact. Like it was like an $86 fine, or it was something. It was something really weird, which she could just pay online.
That's right.
And it was just so prosaic. That was just bizarre.
And that was only for mailing the finger. But it was like moving biological products yes. through them up through the post.
Yes.
Yeah, it was super weird. But this season 5 then becomes more world building, but more in the threatening way of Gilead creeping into Canada. Mm-hmm. And just the escalation of this power. Like June, throughout the years, Canada had been seen as the safety, but.
And the creeping anti-Americanism yeah. as well in Canada, not just Gilead creeping into Canada, anti-Gilead sentiment in Canada, but also anti-American sentiment in Canada.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, June has been trying in vain to put down roots. Literally, she's tending to a garden in there. But the lure of Hannah is just proving too strong. It's clear she's ineffective from Canada. You know, she's a hero in Gilead. In Canada, she tried. She tried to use her power, but she has none. And her allies are back in Canada, Lawrence and Nick. Nick's married. His wife is pregnant. He makes it clear in season 5 that he's staying there. But he's been doing things while she's been gone. He's got a dossier of where Hannah might be, of where Hannah is. Mm-hmm. He's been keeping notes for June. And Lawrence is always hard to read, mm-hmm. but, you know, he helped get her Fred. But her allies are slipping, and they have a pretty epic confrontation at the end of season 5 where he's trying to convince her to be a spokesperson for his New Bethlehem.
That's right, the New Bethlehem. That's I was trying to remember the name of that place that he sets up, because it's meant to be like a place where people who have left Gilead can kind of come back, and it's meant to be a bit more of a free interpretation of Gilead. Is that right?
A bit looser Gilead.
Yeah, because that New Bethlehem is in the trailer, so I think that's going to come back in this new season and have a prominent role.
Yep, 100%.
And so Serena at this point, pregnant, but she's been posted to a house. And I'm assuming now, from memory, that this is like it's in Canada, but it's very much a Gilead mm-hmm. house.
Friendly, yep.
She starts being treated like a handmaid.
Yeah.
And then she needs to architect her own removal.
She sure does. Yes, because he, the husband of the house, Ryan Wheeler, he is sort of a black ops. He's got business ties to Gilead. He's operating in no man's land. Like he is dirty. The wife has all the hallmarks of being a wife. Mm-hmm. She just happens to be in Canada. And yes, Serena is bound to that property. Ugh, horrible scene, but there's a gynecologist who comes over, obstetrician who comes over, because they've set up a birthing suite in the house so that she doesn't have to leave. He hits on her mm-hmm. and they're all for it. Creepy vibes of Gilead. All signs that life might be handmaid-esque for Serena without the obvious ceremony happening. You know, no one's assaulted her yet. But yeah, she flees when June and Luke are captured. Serena makes the case that she wants to be the one to go and shoot June, or at least witness when it happens.
That's right, yes.
Yeah, so Wheeler, she convinces him, Wheeler lets her go. That's where the birth scene happens.
Yes, that's where we have the epic second birth scene Serena has her baby. And again, like, yeah, one of my favourites, where the two of them really face off, where like June has to help her in a way, but then also I'll never forget the look on her face when she gets to hold Serena's baby and she has that moment where she's like, oh, I can now finally enact my revenge on you. Revenge on Fred is killing him. Revenge on Serena is taking her baby, you know? And it's like, and she had her baby in her hands. And then you see, I think, maybe the true grace of June, which is that I think in that moment she realizes she has her chance and that she doesn't actually want to take it. Like, she's not that person. She is, for all the time she's spent in Gilead and for all the amounts of ways that it has changed her, it hasn't changed her enough to turn her into a cruel person. So I think that was a really pivotal scene for both Serena and for June. So one of the good ones.
I think so too. And there is a fantastic interaction where it's Serena is still of the view that women are vessels, and kind of like she kind of alludes to that with June, and June's like, we're people, babies deserve to be with their mothers and that is God's will. And then she gets a, do you understand me? A really calm one, just kind of like, if not for me, at least for your baby, like see that maybe you shouldn't be taking babies away forcibly from their mothers and claiming them as your own. So trying to get through to Serena, it looks like she kind of has, and then they go to the hospital and Luke comes in and calls the authorities. So Serena is separated from her baby and she goes to a detention centre because she's not supposed to go anywhere that's not Gilead property. So that, again, Luke gets her on a technicality. They'd had a breakthrough, but then there's another scene where Serena actually asks June, how did you manage when you were a handmaid like in that house? She's basically asking for advice now from June because she's always wanting something. And June gets to say, we're not friends, Serena. Like, I can never forgive you, but, you know, but your way to handle this is to do what they say, go into the house and kind of like just use whatever means you can to get that out of there, which, of course, Serena does in that finale. She sees an exit sign and she makes a break for it. Yeah. So then, you know, that's bringing us up to the finale, really. So June and Luke have to flee because Gilead is coming for June. She had organised an attempt to get Hannah the raid on the school when they got the whereabouts of Hannah's school. That, of course, was foiled by Gilead, Lawrence. And Mackenzie is proving to be a bit of a mite, and he gives the order for the hit on June, basically.
And Lawrence also does nothing to stop it, right?
Correct.
Which makes Nick upset when it does happen, and that's when Nick goes off the rails and shouts at Lawrence and kind of undermines his own stability within Gilead.
That's right.
Because at the end of that episode, like, his wife's doesn't want to be with him anymore. He's been too bold with his love of his ex-partner. And June, meanwhile, has had this hit attempt on her in Canada. Luke's, in trying to protect her, has injured whoever it was that was trying to run over June.
He injures him
and then he dies in hospital. Right. And that's what prompts them to escape, because he's now wanted.
Yeah.
A wanted man for killing a Canadian citizen.
That's right.
Yeah.
So Tuello organises for them. All of the refugees are kind of boarding trains because Little America is no more. They're having to find somewhere else. So June and Luke, although Luke was never planning to get on the train, he gives himself up. June gets on the train. Here's a baby. Heads for the baby with Nicole. Who is it? What a coincidence. It's Serena, Joy, and little Noah. That's the end of season 5 and sets us up for season 6. So what are we thinking?
So first of all, where are they heading? So June and Serena and their babies are now on this train.
They're going
a whole bunch of refugees.
Onto Hawaii is the plan.
So we think they're going to Hawaii, right? Like, that's where they're meant to be going.
Yeah.
Trees and coconuts, baby.
Whether they ever make it to Hawaii, I don't know. The trailer seems to suggest otherwise.
There's not really any palm trees or oceans in that trailer, so no. I'm thinking maybe
June's not going to Hawaii.
You also can't get a train to Hawaii, so I'm thinking at some point, wherever that end destination of the train is where things go awry.
Yeah. Well, across all this season, June's just been – the lure of Hannah has just been way too strong. She's going back for her baby.
I do wonder what – like, so in the trailer for next season, we see – June and Luke reunited, fighting together. Mm. I did wonder where the baby was while they're doing this.
There's a shot of her pushing a pram, but I don't know. Take a baby into Gilead. Take two babies into Gilead.
Oh, my God.
Predictions, guys. What do we think from the trailer? There are some new characters. Heidi, I know you've studied the trailer.
Well, so there was the teaser.
Yes.
That was put out first, and then there's been a kind of final trailer put out since. And I was having little conniptions in the teaser because, you know, there are shots there of Serena in a wedding dress in a big church getting married. And I was like pausing and zooming in on, you know, the front of the church going like, who's the groom? And I was having little side freakouts with Fiona that it looked like Nick.
Oh, my God.
But no. thank goodness the trailer has suggested that is not the case. And I think it looks like Serena's getting married to a new commander played by Josh Charles of The Good Wife or The Veil fame. And it looks like those two are in New Bethlehem in some capacity. So there is a new storyline there of kind of Serena returning to Gilead in some capacity as the wife of this new commander who we don't know what his deal is. So that's an interesting new turn for Serena, which makes sense where she's tried to escape and she's realized that Canada is not her ticket to freedom and power and mobility, and so she's entering Gilead again. So there's a little bit of a will she fall back into line? I don't think she will. Obviously, there's more to Serena than that. This is the avenue that she thinks she's going to gain some more power or freedom.
New Bethlehem seems like a good fit for her because what she wanted was a less extreme version of Gilead the whole time, right? She wanted women to be able to read. She didn't want to lose her pinky finger over, you know, her request to her husband. So it seems like that's a very good fit to her, whether it works out quite the way she wants. That's, you know, the other question.
I really want to see her go on a revolutionary arc where she finally rebels properly against Gilead. And I don't know if I really want this. I really feel like I want her to work with June in some capacity on this, like them to strike some kind of let's bring Gilead down from these two different sides.
Wait, but does Serena want Gilead? I think she just wants, like I said, a less extreme version of Gilead. She wants Gilead light, New Bethlehem.
Maybe you're right. I know I'm just dreaming here.
Right. Because if she wanted to be total rebel, she'd stay in Canada.
I think I'm stuck in season two where they briefly worked together and there was this kind of beautiful thing. And I want that mirroring to come back in the last season in some way. I don't know whether that's a good or a bad thing, but that's what my heart wants.
I think that's where we've been led, though, because I agree with you, and that's what I would like to see as well. But I also think I feel like we didn't just make that up.
They fed that to us, right? They fed that to us, which makes me think they're cleverer than that, the writers, and they're going to take us elsewhere.
June and Serena, to me, are both especially what we saw in that last season, season five, is that they're both so good at strategy. They're better than anyone really at strategy. Mm-hmm. They just happen to be two of some of the least powerful people in Gilead. and considering what they achieve is really quite remarkable. And so they end up being, like, for me, the two power players of the show. So it's interesting to see what they could do together.
Yeah.
They will not be friends. They will never be friends. And Serena's power, she realizes she doesn't have any in Canada. So her making any change in Canada probably is not that great, but she has a lot of power in Gilead and they actually want her. She's getting away with stuff because she's so powerful, because they want her as like a wife. So yeah, I hope that what we see is not her just going, oh, I've got my power back, but actually now let's see what I can do with this.
Yeah.
Well, interestingly, from the trailer, we see Serena and June both back to the beginning in terms of Serena's back to being a wife. June's back to being a handmaid. We see her in the handmaid's garb again.
I thought she was a Martha.
I think it's both.
We see her. We definitely see her in the handmaid outfit.
Yeah.
She's just like one of those assassins which, you know, just like adopts any garb she needs to.
Yeah, yeah, she's moving.
Shapeshifter.
Like a ninja.
Yeah, I think it's everyone's back to season one, kind of, or everyone gets a redo of season one, because like for June and Luke, it's season one was them fleeing, June getting captured. As we've left it, Luke is captured and June is quote unquote on the way to freedom. Like it's a reverse of that. Yeah. You know, Serena is, you know, there looks like a wedding. At first I thought it was going to be a Fred flashback of their wedding.
Oh,
wow. When I first saw the wedding.
It was a very matronly wedding dress. That did it's not bluish. Look like a fresh bride dress.
It's got bluish tones. So yeah, I think it's Gileadian. Yeah. So I think it's kind of like a reset. We're back to sort of season one in every way, even the way the show's coming
Janine's
back at this
Jezebel,
time.
Jezebel, it looks like.
Looks like Janine's in Jezebel's, because she was locked up. She was, for what she put to Naomi Putnam, sorry, Naomi Lawrence. And yeah, she did a We're Not Friends, Naomi. And for Lydia, she was destroyed by Janine ruining, in the way Lydia would see it, her chance to be reunited with Angela. So Janine gets maybe a redo of her narrative. Nick, I don't know. What was that about with him punching Lawrence like that? Obviously, he bounces back from it by the look of the trailer, I guess, because he's just signed over to be a spy with Tuello. But yeah, then he acted out. So I have to say, having rewatched, I misjudged Nick Blaine a little bit.
Oh, really? Tell us your thoughts.
Wait, what?
I know.
I need to hear more.
I think just across the seasons, I never quite got a good read on him. I didn't quite know his motives, but just watching it in that kind of compressed timeline, he was never a true believer. He kind of got recruited, and he has actual family values. He wasn't phony baloney ones like what most people in Gilead were. So, you know, that kind of is him to a core, because he was picked up at a job centre. Mm. He was trying to support his brother. So he's called himself nothing. Like, he has such low self-worth.
He's a sad boy.
June saw something in him, and that's kind of what has bonded them. And he has worked for her across the years, even when she was gone.
Oh, he fell in love hard.
I know. So apologies, Commander Nick Blaine.
But also June's his, I think Bruce Miller said this in the interview with us last season, June's his redemption. You know, he's trying to pay back what he did through helping her. I mean, he also definitely loves her, but that's part of it.
Yeah, that's his path back. So, yeah, he's got his hands dirty, absolutely, by being part of the regime. But no one's coming out of this clean, not least of all June. So it's whatever means necessary. You know, you have to play dirty if you're going to bring down a totalitarian, misogynistic theocracy. Wake up, people.
I'm just impressed that you said funny baloney. I haven't heard that in ages.
So any other big revelation, like what's your tips for this season?
Well, I mean, what do we think about Luke and Nick and June, and where like her relationship with those two men are going over this season? Is there going to be some kind of final moment with Nick? Is she going to end up with Luke? She's not going to end up with Nick, surely.
They are the two dads. Like, Luke is the father of Hannah and Nick is the father of Nicole. So there's always that, like, that awkwardness of their relationship. And Luke is raising Nick's daughter. Yeah. So they're kind of, even though they're connected through June, they're actually also connected as parents as well, which is really quite interesting. But having had the distance now of like 2.5 years from this show, I'm coming in a bit different, I think, about what I want, and especially with a whole sort of love triangle, if we can call it that. But very much, I would like to see June and Luke back together again, and I would like to see them fighting together to get Hannah back. And I really want, and here's my thing, and I don't think it's going to happen, so I'm just going to say it anyway, which is I really want them to finally get Hannah back. I've wanted that from season one. Like, we all wanted that, and that's always the thing. Yeah. And I had sort of resigned myself to it not happening because of maybe how the show might lead into the testaments. But I feel, this is my strong feeling on this, is that we've all stuck with handmaids all this time. At some points it has been harrowing and a hard watch, and then other times it has also been beautiful and amazing, and, oh my gosh, the acting is extraordinary. But the payoff for being such loyal viewers and waiting all of this time is that Hannah gets out and that June and Luke get to live with her wherever.
Oh, man.
Wherever.
Yeah.
And I don't believe in happy endings for the show. That's what I want, damn it.
Too fairy tale. I agree with you. But I think I would be happy if they just get to see Hannah. Oh, like, I just, yeah. I kind of want that moment from, is it the second season where she has that meeting with Hannah in the house? Like, I kind of just want the closure of her and hopefully Luke seeing Hannah again in person and her having remembered them and then like a farewell. I think that would satisfy me.
I would be devastated. Oh my God.
It will be devastating, right? And I will be sobbing, but I think that's what I need.
Sana?
Well, I'm sort of thinking in a different direction at the moment. I'm kind of thinking, you know, when the show first premiered, it was during the first Trump administration.
Sure was.
And there was a lot of talk around real world parallels. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine the writers would have ever thought that their finale would premiere during a second Trump administration. That is fascinating to me. I think I go into this season with a little bit of trepidation in terms of the fact that we have seen kind of misogyny in a new way in recent years. Like, I'm just thinking in terms of like your body, my choice, mm-hmm. actually being spoken with fervor is kind of terrifying. So I guess the real world parallels have always been quite creepy with the show, and the parallels are timeless, really. We know when Margaret Atwood wrote this, it was timely then as well. So I have a growing sense of trepidation watching where the show goes and watching where the world goes along with it.
Because, of course, we know from the original Handmaid's Tale book that Gilead lasts for many, many more years than this show covers. Like, it lasts for something like 150 years. So even though there's all this promise of some kind of uprising among the handmaids and this renewed, you know, resolution to take down Gilead, ultimately whatever happens in this season isn't going to take down Gilead. It's probably going to get worse before it gets better.
I've got a big prediction for what I think is going to happen in this season. And I think it was helped by the rewatch, because I do think, all right, on the point of June, Hannah, Luke, I think June will see Hannah again, but I think it's as she dies in front of her.
June dies in front of Hannah.
I think so. That's my prediction.
What about the Testaments?
Testaments, I think, is a sequel to the book. And I think Testament series will be a sequel to the series, The Handmaid's Tale.
In the book, June is alive.
Yeah.
In the book, there is a character who could be June who is never named. It is ambiguous, right? So maybe there could be a parting of storylines.
It would
be
pretty bold.
Can I tell you why? Yeah, I just feel like she has to.
June has to die.
Yeah, because also, just in watching this, there are at least three times across the series where people say to June, this all dies with you dying in front of her. So I just feel like they're telling us again. Mrs. McKenzie says it to June when June shows up to get Hannah at the start of season three. Mrs. McKenzie says it directly to June in that episode. Moira says it to June in the Chicago where she's trying to get her out, and she just sort of says, you're going to die and you're going to die in front of her. I just feel like that's going to happen. Sorry, but
you should be sorry. I can't believe you've just said that to me. How am I meant to get on with
my
day?
It will be the saddest episode.
I guess that would be a farewell in front of Hannah of sorts. Mm. Yeah.
But the reason I'm saying that too is because of the way Holly has been such a force for June. And I think that's the only, I want another Holly flashback, or to know exactly what happened to her. Our last image was of her in the colonies. But I just feel like the way that this whole series has been about women as mothers, as daughters, as, you know, weird guardians in a Gilead world, it's for June, she's such a product of her mum. She's so terrified about what Hannah's not getting as a result of being in her life. I just think her only way to have it, to let Hannah know the impact of what she's done, is to see it. And I think that will set Hannah up for whatever her future is beyond that. And I think it will light a fire in Hannah. That's my hope.
Oh,
like,
oh,
I just feel like that's her legacy.
All season long then.
I love it.
Oh my God.
I think that's a great prediction. I also hate it, but you know.
It's meant to be, the trailer has set it up to be a very galvanizing force for women, which, speaking of the political mood, I think is what we also really need. I think like American women need it, but maybe the rest of us do as well, which is it's meant to be wake up and fight back.
Yep.
And I think maybe you could summarize the whole show with that, but definitely this season, if it is ending, it surely it's meant to, in my mind, end on a way that empowers women or gives them strength or gives them inspiration or to be some sort of galvanizing force and not something which is like super depressing where our hero dies in front of her daughter. Oh, my God.
I think dies in a way that shows it's not just one person who's going to do this. I think it's to show her daughter, her actual daughter, you know, what she's done and to inspire, you know, other people to see it. Like it's kind of like there is a toll to this. Pain does mark you and I think it's kind of like she is a target now. If they do it in a totally different way, that'll be amazing too. But, yeah, I just feel like that was when I was watching, oh, my God, I think I know. But how many terrible predictions have I made across the time we've done maybe this? The one I only got right was that Serena would get pregnant from that one time she had sex with Fred.
Can I say one thing I'm looking forward to, which is not teased in the trailer, is Jonah from Veep is going to be a character this season. The Simons, I think his name is.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I saw that, but I haven't seen mention in now that it's more moved into production. But yes, maybe that would be curious. So, look, I'll let that one sit with you. Sorry to be the Debbie Downer. Maybe that's what rewatching 56 episodes in a couple of weeks does to you. Anyway, I look forward to be proven wrong. Thank you for listening. We hope that helped. You prepare for the big season 6 premiere. Look, if you still want to rewatch from season 1, you are truly a kindred spirit, but you've got a hard deadline, so go in grace, my friend. So we're off to go and watch the first episodes of season 6. Premiere episodes of The Handmaid's Tale season 6 will launch exclusively on SBS On Demand on Tuesdays from April 8th. And screen on television on SBS Wednesdays from April 9. SBS has published a How to Watch The Handmaid's Tale article that has all the premiere dates and times for each episode, so you won't miss a second. 3 episodes of season 6 of The Handmaid's Tale will drop on Tuesday the 8th of April. Yes, 3 episodes. That's almost a third of the season, can you believe it? Anyway, we'll have an accompanying recap for them and we'll be dropping into your feed as well with some special episodes and interviews across the season. Bring it on. So thank you to my co-hosts, Sana Kadar, Natalie Hambly and Haiti Island. It is so good to have you back and to almost have episodes to recap. And thank you for listening. It means the world that you choose to watch this show along with us. And we would love to know what you think as you approach this final season too. What are your big predictions? Reach out on your preferred social media platforms. For obvious reasons, we're not aligning ourselves with any one particular one this season, but you can find me at anythingbutfifi and you can use the hashtag EyesOnGilead. We're not on some of them much anymore, but I'll certainly be checking the hashtag to see your thoughts. And if you like what you hear, feel free to leave feedback and give us a rating on your favourite podcast app. Where can we find you? Are you still on social media?
I'm on Insta at Sana_Kadar.
Natalie?
I am going to restart my Insta and maybe dip into Threads as well. So I'll be at Nat Handley.
Haiti?
I'm not online. So,
fair enough.
So you can reach me via Fee. She'll pass on all important messages. Or by post, care of SBS.
Snail mail.
Handwritten, if possible. Good for you.
Welcome any fan art you'd like to send in.
We're just going in a bold new direction this year. I love it. Eyes on Gilead is an SBS Australia production and we acknowledge the traditional owners of country throughout Australia and meet on the lands of the Cammeraygal people of the Eora Nation. The podcast is produced by me, Fiona Williams, and edited and mixed by the incomparable Jeremy Wilmot. It's good to be back with you, Jez. Until next time, don't let the bastards grind you down.